Now we're going to read some verses tonight in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter number 8. Acts chapter 8. Now we're going to read a few verses tonight. Acts chapter 8. We're going to commence reading at verse number 26. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, and verse 26. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him the more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Now that's the story that we're going to look at tonight, and we're sure God will add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now those who've been coming in the nights past will be aware that we're looking at some of the questions that we find in the Bible. The first few weeks we spent in the book of Job, but the last couple of nights we've been looking at some of the questions in the New Testament. The question that we looked at two nights ago was the question that the Lord Jesus asked when he saw a man lying lame at the side of the pool of Bethesda, and he asked them the question, do you want to be made better? Do you want to be made whole? And just for the sake of our meeting, we just changed the idea slightly, and we asked the question, do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? And that was the question that we looked at on Monday night. Do you want to be saved? You know, I just want to ask that question again at the start of our meeting. Do you want to be saved? Is that the longing of your heart? Do you really want to be saved? And then last night we looked at the question that came from the lips of the Philippian jailer. Remember, there he was, and he was wakened out of his sleep by this great earthquake, and he went down into the dungeon and he discovered that all the prisoners were still there. And he realised that a miracle had taken place. That he realised that these preachers that were lying in that darkest dungeon were no less than the servants of God. He realised that if he had plunged his sword into his own breast and taken his own life as he was just about to do, then he would have perished, he would have been lost forever. And he cried out, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And we thought last night of the response of the preachers, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And you know, we tried to emphasise last night the simplicity of entering into salvation, that it's just simply by believing, by trusting on the Lord Jesus. Just accepting that the Lord Jesus is able and willing to do what he says he'll do, that he'll save everyone that is prepared to call on his name, that's prepared to put their trust in him. So what we're going to look at tonight is the person that does save us. We're going to speak tonight about the person of the Lord Jesus. Because this man from Ethiopia, this coloured man from Africa, he had been up at Jerusalem at the temple and he was returning back home and he was reading the Bible and he couldn't understand it.
You know, maybe you feel a bit like that. Maybe there's times when you've taken the old Bible off the shelf and you've turned open its pages and you've started to read it and you couldn't understand it. That's what this man was like as he was travelling in his chariot, reading the Bible and couldn't understand it. And God sent a servant. God sent a preacher right to his side. And this eunuch says to the preacher, he says, who's the prophet speaking about? Is he speaking about himself? Or is he speaking about some other man? And it says that the preacher, Philip, he started at the same part of the Bible and he preached unto him, Jesus. He preached unto him, Jesus. And that's what we want to do for a wee while tonight. We just want to preach unto you about Jesus. Because if you're going to be saved, then you'll only be saved by trusting in this blessed man who bears the name of Jesus. The man in the story came, as I mentioned, from Ethiopia. He was a man that had everything. He was right next to the Queen Candace, who sat on the throne of Ethiopia. He looked after all her treasures, all her wealth. Moved in high society. Had everything that this world could offer, and yet there was something missing. There was something missing. I wonder, do you feel like that in your little lifetime? That there's just something missing? Oh, you've got your family, you've got your friends, you've got good health, you've got enough money to get by, you've got a roof over your head, but there's something missing. Maybe you think, you know, that if you just had a little bit more money, then that thing that's missing would just be filled up. I was speaking to a young girl today, just up in the scheme, and you know, that's what she told me. She told me, you know, that all her problems would be over if she had more money. Maybe if she had more money, her problems would just be starting. Money doesn't really satisfy, does it? Position in society doesn't fulfill the aching void in a person's heart. This man had everything the world could offer, but there was something missing. Something missing. He thought he would find the answer in religion. And so he made a tremendous journey from Ethiopia right away across the country and away to the land of Israel, to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple of God. He thought he would find the answer in religion. Do you know something? Religion didn't satisfy him either. Religion just left him cold and empty and dissatisfied and still seeking. Maybe you're like that tonight. Maybe you've been trying religion. Maybe you've been trying one place and you've been trying another place and you know there's still that emptiness in here. But you know, I noticed as he came back from the temple, he got something in the house of God that was going to bring light to his soul. He came back from the temple with a portion of the Word of God in his hand. I hope you treasure the Bible tonight. The Bible's God's Word. The Bible doesn't contain God's Word. The Bible is God's Word. It's the very breathings of God. It's God's message. It's through the reading of the Bible that God shines light into our heart. It's through the reading of the Bible that we learn of God's way of salvation. And he's reading the Bible. And he's reading away in the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. And he's reading about a man that was rejected, a man that was wounded, a man that was stricken, a man that was bruised. And he's thinking, who is this man? The prophet speaking about himself? Or is he speaking about somebody else? He just doesn't even know the answer. And you know, isn't it amazing that God was prepared to send one of his servants? He took him from Samaria, where he was in the midst of a great big campaign where many folks were getting saved and turning to the Lord. And God says to Philip, listen, you've got to leave there, Philip. You've got to go way down to the Gaza desert. You know, Philip might have thought that was a strange thing for God to ask him to do. He might have said, but God, the people are getting saved here. This is the place to be, the place of blessing. Well, this is a way down to Gaza, Philip. And Philip went away down to the Gaza desert and he didn't know why he was going there. But God knew. Because God was interested in that one seeking soul. Is that not what we've tried to stress on a number of nights in the past? That God is interested in the individual. God doesn't just look down on a whole mass of humanity. He looks down upon individuals. God has got time for individuals. And if you've got a seeking heart in him, I want to tell you, God will move heaven and earth in order that that desire of your heart is met, in order that you might come into contact with the Lord Jesus. God would move a servant from Samaria away to a desert just to meet this man in all his need. And when the chariot was seen in the distance, the Spirit of God says to Philip, there he is, go, join yourself to that chariot. There's the purpose why you've been sent to. It's for that man. Philip ran across the desert sand. He met up with a man reading the scriptures. Do you understand what you're reading? Oh, he says, how can I understand unless someone tells me? Who's he speaking about? Himself or some other man? And Philip started from that same Old Testament part of the Bible. And he preached on him. Jesus. Jesus. Something precious about that name, isn't there? Something sweet, something glorious. There is no name so sweet enough. There's no name so sweet as Jesus. I wonder, what does Jesus mean to you today? You know, to a lot of people, and you come up, you know, it's just a word that they use in blasphemy. Just trips off the end of their tongue with a swear word. How tragic. The men and women would use the name of my precious Saviour as a swear word. What does Jesus mean to you today? What does the Lord Jesus mean to you? My friend, if you're ever going to be saved, then the Lord Jesus Christ will need to become everything to you. Everything to you. Your only hope, the source of your life. The very reason for your being. Oh, my friend tonight, what does the Lord Jesus mean to you? Now, Philip the preacher took him away back to the Old Testament and he preached unto him all about Jesus. You know, it's interesting in that chapter that he was reading from in Isaiah chapter 53, before he actually got to the wee bit that he was speaking to Philip about, he learned something about himself. He learned something about himself before he learned something about the Saviour. Do you know what he learned about himself? He learned that he was like a sheep that had gone astray. Because that's what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. He says, oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. I wonder if you come to a realization of that in your life. That you're just like a lost, wandering sheep. You know, I saw them just as I came up the road tonight, just between here and Cumnock. You know, they're out there, the little lambs are out there on the side of the road. They've gone astray, they've wandered. They've just got out through the wee gap in the fence, and there they are, and they're exposed to all the danger. Just wandering sheep. That's what we're like. What the Bible says, that's what God says about the men and women in your Cumnock. And my friend, I can tell you, it's absolutely true that men and women are just like sheep. We just go astray. We turn to our own way. Would these little lambs not be safer beside their mother? But you see, there's just something in them that wants to move away from the mother and do its own thing and go its own way, and it gets itself lost and exposed to danger. And that's just what's in us, isn't it? That desire just to go our own way. Sometimes our own way is difficult, isn't it? Well, it's always difficult, because the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The Bible says our own way is not only difficult, but it's deceitful, because oftentimes we think our own way is okay, when all the time it's all wrong. The wise man Solomon said, there is a way, and it seems right unto a man, but the end's thereof, the way of death. So that way that you're travelling tonight, that life that you're living, you know, it might seem okay to you. But my friend, if you're not travelling God's way, if you're not travelling the way of salvation, then my friend, you're in your own way and it's going to end in death. Not just physical death, but eternal death. Eternal separation from God is the portion, is the end result of those who go their own way. And you know, going our own way is not only difficult and it's not only deceitful, but it's darkness. The way of the wicked, says the prophet, says this is the Old Testament, it is darkness. Darkness. And this man had come to realise that. As he read the Old Testament prophet, as he thought of the seeking and the searching of his own heart, he saw himself as a sheep that had gone astray and he needed a saviour. He needed a saviour. Wonder, my friend, have you come to that realisation today that you need a saviour? That you not only do you need to be saved, but you need someone to save you. You need a saviour. Starting from the same part of the Bible, Philip preached on him, Jesus. Jesus, Jehovah, the Saviour. What did he say about him? Well, you know, he would speak about the sorrows of the Lord Jesus. Because that's what Isaiah chapter 53 is all about, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And you know, if you read the life of the Lord Jesus, the life that he spent down here on earth, you know, you'll discover it was a life of sorrow. It's a life of grief. It's a life of rejection. It was a life of tears. Tears. Yeah, the Lord Jesus shed tears. The Lord Jesus knew what it was to have a broken heart. The Lord Jesus knew what it was to shed tears with those that mourned. The Lord Jesus Christ shed tears over those that had sinned. The Lord Jesus looked over a city, the city of Jerusalem one day, and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. You would not." You can almost feel the pain in the heart of Christ as he says these words. The same blessed Lord Jesus is in heaven tonight. And he looks down and you come. And he says, "Oh, you come and you come. How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not, you would not, you would not." How do you think the Lord Jesus felt? The Bible says that he came to his own and his own received him not. He came to the Jewish nation and they didn't want him. The Lord Jesus has come. And you come up time and time and time and time again over the years and over the months and over these weeks. And yet men and women are saying, "I don't want him. I don't want him. I don't want to go his way. I still want my own way." And the Lord Jesus' heart breaks over the rejection of men and women. I wonder, my friend, as he looks into your individual life tonight, is the Lord saying, "Listen, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Eh? How many times have you heard the Lord speaking to you? How many times have you heard his call? How many times have you heard the plea in his voice as you've listened to the message of the gospel and the Saviour's been calling you to himself that you might be saved, and you've rejected him? A man of sorrows. You're acquainted with grief. The Lord Jesus longs to save you tonight. Are you still saying no? Do you still think your own way is best? Do you still think you can work your own way to heaven? The Lord Jesus longs after you tonight. He just wants you to come and trust in him. He wants you to receive him tonight into your heart and into your life. is the man of sorrows. Now you not only speak about the sorrows of Christ, but the sufferings of Christ. You go home and read Isaiah 53 for yourself, and I tell you, it's a chapter all about sufferings. It's all about the cross. Written all these years, 700 years before it took place, and yet it's all about the cross and the suffering of the Lord Jesus. He was bruised, he was stricken, he was smitten, he was afflicted, he was wounded. Who could describe tonight the sufferings of Christ? He suffered as no one else ever suffered. Beaten with those stripes. Punched with the clenched fist of man. His head covered with a crown of thorns that pierced his blessed brow. When he was hung up, nailed to that cross, every single one of his bones was out of joint because he hung in agony in Calvary. He suffered. My friend, the great truth of the matter was this, that when Christ suffered on that cross, he was suffering for me. And he was suffering for you. Is that not love? Is that not love? That someone was prepared to take your place and take the punishment that you should have deserved and suffer on your behalf? Wounded for me. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me and gone my transgressions, and now I am free, all because Jesus was wounded for me. My friend, has anybody else ever loved you so much as to suffer for you? And to take your place under the wrath of God, to bear away your sins? Oh, my friend, as this man rode in his chariot, he was confronted with Jesus and all his sorrows and all his suffering. But you know, Philip would also speak about his submissiveness. Says that he was led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers was dumb. He opened not his mouth. The submissiveness of Christ. I've told you in nights gone past that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Almighty One. He's the one that created everything by the word of his power. And yet yonder at Calvary, where he went to that cross to die, to provide for our salvation, he allowed himself just to be led as a gentle lamb. There wasn't any struggle. The men on either side of the Lord Jesus would be struggling. They would be cursing. They would be screaming for revenge. They'd be crying out in their anger. But not this blessed man. He went voluntarily to that cross. He went willingly. Allowed himself to be led by his creatures. Nailed to the tree. The one that could have called for 12 legions of angels. All the hosts of heaven, the angelic hosts, were waiting to come to his assistance. And yet he never cried for them. Because alone, and voluntarily and willingly, he would enter into Calvary's experience for you and me. What blessed submissiveness. Being led by these creatures, this creature man, and being nailed to the tree. I remember years ago in a market town in Romania, I saw a man selling some little lambs for just this time of the year, and he had them all trussed up at the side of the road, and they would come up, and the buyers would lift up them. They were all trussed up with their four legs, and they would lift them up and try to gauge the weight, and then they would agree a price, and they would pay the money, and they took them down the street a bit. And just at this window, there was just a line of people standing at this window, everyone with a little lamb, holding their little lamb. And I watched to see what was happening. And as each person got to the window, they just handed the little lamb across into the hands of a butcher. And I watched as he just slung it onto a hook and cut its throat, and the blood flowed. And the thing that I noticed was this, that there wasn't a whimper from the little lamb. It was just dumb. It was just silent. As there it was taken
put to the slaughter. And I thought of my blessed Saviour. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Led as a lamb to the slaughter. Not a whimper. Not a word of complaint. But willingly exposed himself to the hatred of men and to the awful experience of the cross. And he exposed himself to it all for me. A poor, wretched, vile sinner that deserved the deepest hell, yet that blessed, tender lamb was prepared to go to that Calvary to shed his blood for me. Because Philip would not only speak about the sorrows and the suffering and the submissiveness of Christ, but he would speak about the sacrifice of Christ. He would say, the Lord laid on him the iniquities of all. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, to make his soul an offering for our sins. My friend, that's the secret of Calvary. That's the mystery of it. That's the blessing of it. That's the reality of it. That's why Christ can be our Saviour. That's why he can save us from our sins and the results of our sin. It's because there in Calvary, he suffered for our sins. He laid down his life as a sacrifice on account of our sins. He was punished on our behalf. Strangest verse in the whole of my Bible. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, to put him to grief, to make his soul an offering for my sin. My friend, could we just pause in the quietness tonight? Try to grasp in our soul what the writer's saying. It pleased him, Jehovah God, to put him, his only blessed Son, Jesus, to grief, to make his soul, the soul of his own Son, an offering for our sin. Tell me, if it was possible for any person to get to heaven any other way, why Calvary? Why Calvary? Would God expose his own blessed Son to the awfulness of Calvary's cross? Would he offer up his own Son as a sacrifice for sin if there was any other way for us to be saved? Preposterous. There was only one means whereby men and women could be saved, and that was for a sinless person to take their place and die as their substitute. That's what he did willingly at the cross. He died. He died. For me. For me, Lord Jesus, thou hast died. And I have died in thee. Thou art risen. My bands are all untied. And now I live in thee. Oh, my friend, tonight, upon a life I did not live. Upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. My friend, what about you? What about you? Preached on him, Jesus. And here was a man that knew his need. He knew he was like a lost, wandering, guilty sheep. He knew that he was under God's judgment because of his sins. And he was seeking and searching for the answer. And what glorious light dawned in his soul when Jesus was preached unto him. He preached unto him, Jesus, and light flooded his soul that here was hope, here was life, here was salvation in Jesus. There was the man of sorrows. The man of suffering, the man of submissiveness, the man of sacrifice. He suddenly saw in Jesus his only hope of salvation. Can you see that tonight? That the Lord Jesus is your only hope. There's no hope in the brethren. There's no hope in the Baptists. And there's no hope, my friend, in the Church of Scotland or any other church or any other religion. There's only hope and trust. The one that went to that Calvary to pay the price for your sins. And praise God, this dark man from Ethiopia, he grasped his opportunity that day. faith in the Lord Jesus. He took the Lord Jesus at his word. And he accepted him as his Saviour. And we're on his way rejoicing. What about you, Denny? You're hearing exactly the same message as the Ethiopian eunuch here. Exactly the same message. It's all about Jesus. What are you going to do to me? Are you going to leave the meeting the way you came in, still in your sins? And I wonder, are you going to trust the Lord Jesus to me and leave the meeting rejoicing in the fact that your sins are forgiven and that you're saved for glory and that the flames and judgment of hell you'll never, never, never see? My friend, what will you do with Jesus? That was Sunday night, wasn't it? What will I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? That's the question tonight again. What will you do with him? You want to be saved. Salvation's in him. Receive him tonight. Trust him tonight. And with the Ethiopian eunuch and the Philippian jailer of last night, rejoice in the knowledge that your sins are gone. Our gracious God and Father, we just thank you again for another opportunity to make known the glad tidings. We thank you, God, for the attention that has been given to thy word tonight in this place. And we just look to thee to bless it. There is promise to bless thy word. And we would lay hold on that promise tonight. You promised, O God, that your word will not return unto you void, that it will accomplish that to which you've sent it. And so we lay hold on that tonight and pray, O God, that tonight in this hall there'll be those that would respond to the preaching of the word, that their hearts would be open to receive it and to receive the one of whom it speaks, the man who bears the precious name of Jesus. So, our Father, we pray for a parting blessing as we give thanks again in the Lord's name.